Praise God. Amen. We're so glad that you are here tonight. You have your Bible, turn to John chapter 14, if you would, please. John chapter 14. Praise God. Anybody ever order things online? Oh, man, increasingly, I don't know. I go to the store less and less. I order so much stuff online now, it's hard to get me into the store. My groceries, Tony will tell you, I'm always, you know, baby, what do you want from the grocery store? Or John Paul, what do you want? We're always going back and forth. We order groceries online. We just pull up and they throw them in the trunk and we pull off. I need filters for my air conditioning system, whatever. I just order them on Amazon. I'm always saying Google do this or Siri order that or do something like that. One time recently I ordered something and it didn't come. I was looking for it and I really needed that and I wanted to work on something and I really needed what I ordered online. It was not there and it was past the delivery date. Anybody ever have a story about that? Mrs. Hagen and Pastor, I'm not even going to look at you. They have all kinds of stories about packages that didn't get delivered. I know y'all don't count tonight. But anyway, so I was thinking I'm going to call Amazon. And I'm going to ask them where my package is. And when I was thinking about calling them, I got a buzz on my watch. And it said, your package has been delivered. And I said, no, it has not. I'm going to call them. And so then I looked there and it said, your package is outside your door. And I went and looked. And in an obscure part of my porch, there was my package. Not only that, my package had been there for several days. I didn't realize it. It had been there for several. It had been like 3 days the package had been out there. Yeah. And so, somebody here tonight, you may be saying, Lord, I need you to help me in some area. There's an area of my life where I need your help. I need your guidance, or I need your strength. I need your deliverance, or I need your healing. You might be saying, Lord, I need you to help me financially. Somebody may be saying, I need a job. You need the Lord to help you in some way, in some area of your life. Can I see your hand? You're not ashamed to say, I need the Lord's help. And there's some area of my life I need his help. Glory to God. Well, he sent me here to tell you that your help is not on the way. Your help is already here. I wonder if you'd look at somebody and tell them that. Your help's not on the way. Tell them your help's already here. Yeah, we have a great helper. All right, we're starting in John 14 tonight because there are four key places in scripture where the word helper is used. This word paraclete, parakletos, in the Greek. I don't know any Greek, but I know how to read. I know how to read the margins of my Bible, and I know how to read the footnotes on my online helps and all that. But the Greek word parakletos is used strategically four times in scripture. Four times. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he uses the word parakletos to describe the helper, our helper, the great Holy Spirit. And first, starting in John 14 at verse 16. John 14, 16. Now, I'm reading from New American Standard Version up there, but in a moment we'll come back and hopefully we can put that up in the Passion Translation in a moment. But John 14, 16, it says this, I will ask the Father, Jesus said, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Now that word helper, see that word helper there? New American Standard helper. Then that's that word parakletos, paraclete, parakletos. And the footnote in my Bible says that that's one of the four places that this word, Jesus used this word strategically, talking about the Holy Spirit. He called him the paraclete. You say, what did the preacher say? The preacher said that Jesus was, that the Holy Spirit was a parakeet. No. Paraclete, parakletos, right? I found that in the margin of my Bible, right? So so here's one place, that there, John 14, 16. He's called a helper there. Go with me to John 14, 26. John 14, 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That word helper there, it's the same word, parakletos. Can you see that? And then go with me to John 15, John 15, and John 15, 26. John 15, 26. There are four strategic places in scripture where Jesus uses this word to describe the Holy Spirit. And John 14, 16, John 14, 26, now here in John 15, 26. When the helper, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Oh man, there's the same word right there. John 15:26, the helper, parakletos. And then in John 16:7, John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. Oh, there's that word again. So we looked right there, John 14:16, John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:7. Jesus strategically using the word parakletos to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is our great helper. Your help isn't on the way. Your help is already here. Look at somebody else and tell them, your help's not on the way. Your help's already here. Jesus actually said, you notice there in John 16:7, he said, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. That's an outstanding, amazing statement. How could Jesus make a statement like that? He was there physically present with the disciples, and then he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. How in the world could that be true? Man. Well, you know, over in Mark 1:35, it says this, that Jesus got up a great while before it was day, and he went to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Mark 1:35. Now, Mark 1:36 says, then the disciples came to him and said, Master, where have you been? Everybody's looking for you. Everybody's searching for you. They're all looking for you. You notice Jesus ignored that. He purposely left them all behind. He purposely got away from people. Isn't life so busy? One of the greatest challenges in all of our lives is that we are so incredibly busy. But it behooves every single one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to make sure that we're not too busy for God. That we take some time and push back from our busy schedules so that we have time to spend with God. Jesus, right there in Mark 1:35, he got away from everybody. He got away from the crowd. He got away from the busyness of his schedule. And he found solitary time away from the crowd just to spend with God. And if Jesus needed that, you and I need that. Man, but the crowd couldn't find, what's your point, preacher? Well, the crowd couldn't find him. They were looking for him, but they couldn't find him. They looked all over and couldn't find him. Over in Mark chapter 5, the story of the woman with the issue of blood. What'd she do? She pressed her way through a crowd to get to Jesus. She didn't just walk up to him without any resistance. She had to push her way through a crowd to get to him. Everybody wanted to touch him. In fact, you know that story? Jesus said, who touched me? Somebody touched him with faith. It was the woman with the issue of blood. He felt power and virtue go out of him. And he knew somebody, Peter said, listen, everybody's touching you. Everybody's pressing against you. Everybody's trying to get to you. But here in 16:7, Jesus said, really, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to send the helper to you. And what he meant was that the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be so dynamic. What if instead of having to hunt and search for Jesus, like the disciples were the morning he was praying, what if he were readily available to us? What if instead of having to press our way through a crowd or hearing that Jesus was over in another state or in another country and we were trying to get to Jesus and everybody was trying to get to him? What if he were readily available, that we had instant access to the Savior? What if it were possible to have an audience with the King any hour of the day or night? We are living in a brand new day that Jesus prophesied about. He said, the day is coming when the helper, the parakletos, is going to be in you. I'm going to send you help that's going to be right there with you. Yeah, we're living in that day. And I tell you, we better recognize the day that we're in. Four times he calls the Holy Spirit parakletos. Go back with me to John 14. We started at verse 16. John 14:16. And let's look for a second. Now, if you would, please, could you put that up in the Passion Translation for me? Thank you so kindly. This is John 14:16 in the Passion Translation. Now, when I read New American Standard, there my Bible said that he'll send you a helper, another helper. Here, look what it says. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior. First of all, just again footnotes of my study materials, in the footnotes of my study materials, it said this about the word another. That word another is a word that means of the same kind. So that when Jesus said, I'm going to send you another helper, he was saying, I'm going to send you someone that's the same kind of helper as me. The same help you've been getting from me, I'm going to send you a helper, and he's going to provide the same kind of help to you that I've provided to you. Hey, isn't that great news? We have a helper. We have a helper. He's the mighty Holy Ghost, and he's providing the same help, the same ministry of the Lord Jesus to you and I, only it's available any hour of the day, any minute of the night, any time that we need it. Down there on your job, you can be down there in the bathroom praying, but God will help you right there in the bathroom on your job. You can be walking around your apartment, but the Lord will help you right there walking around your apartment. Hey, you may not know how you're going to get through the next few days, but God knows how he's going to do it, and God will lift you up and get you through it. The great helper of the same kind. The same kind. Jesus said, I'm not going to send you a help of a lesser kind. I'm sending you help of the same kind. Now the same kind would have to be on the level of God. Because listen, God is omnipresent, omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's everywhere. Praise God. And so to send us help of the same kind, he would have to send us someone who is in fact God, and it is in fact the third person of the Trinity, the mighty, mighty, mighty Holy Ghost, praise God, who lives on the inside of us. And the Bible calls him a helper in some versions, which means he's called alongside to stand right next to us, so close to us that he's standing on the inside of us. Yeah. Your help is not on the way. Hey, your help's already here. My package was outside. I could have got the benefit of my package if I had gone outside to get it. I went days without my package because I didn't know it was out there. And oftentimes, members of the body of Christ go days and weeks, if not months, without experience help. And the mighty helper of the same kind as Jesus is right there on the inside of you and I. Now, in the word, put that Passion Translation back up there. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, another Savior. So we talked about the word another. Let's talk about that word Savior. That word Savior. Oh, man, that word Savior literally means this. The Redeemer who ends the curse. The word Savior, it's an all-encompassing term there. And it literally means the Redeemer who ends the curse. Now that's good news. I said that's good news, because Jesus has ended the curse for you and I. Every place the curse can be found, Jesus ended the curse. Let me tell you this, sickness is not a blessing, sickness is a curse. You don't believe that? Read Deuteronomy. God said, if you follow me, obey me, all these blessings will come on you. If you don't follow me, these curses will come on you. Sickness is a curse. Let me tell you this, poverty and lack is a curse. Poverty and lack is not a blessing. Somebody said, won't that make you pious and holy? No, it'll make you broke. Poverty and lack is a curse. Death is a curse. Oh, but aren't you glad our Jesus has redeemed us? He's redeemed us from the curse. Glory be to God. He's the Savior. And the Bible says, he said he's going to send you a Savior. And that means the Redeemer who ends the curse. Praise God. And when the curse shows up and tries to infiltrate our lives, oh, we have a Redeemer who's already ended the curse. Glory to God. We've got a helper. We've got a Savior. Praise God. And so it's just interesting that Passion Translation for the word helper, parakletos, there, Passion Translation uses the word Savior, uses the word Savior. Whereas New American Standard uses the word helper. We saw that. But, you know, just I ran all these references and looked up, you know, which versions, what do different versions say about the word helper? Which word do different versions use for the word helper? So, in New American Standard, where I read to you, it said helper. In other words, Jesus said, he will give you another helper, New American Standard, right? New King James says the same thing. He'll give you another helper. That word the word helper there. I already told you, Passion Translation says Savior. Savior. The NIV and the New Living Translation, you know what those say? They say advocate. Advocate. The King James and today's Living Bible say comforter. The Christian Standard Bible says counselor. So how could all those different translations use all those different words describing the parakletos, the one who ends the curse? Is he a helper? Is he a savior? Is he an advocate? Is he a comforter? Is he a counselor? Is he a standby? Is he an intercessor? Hey, he's all of that. He's all those things, whatever you need him to be. Glory to God. So someone says, I need a helper. Someone says, I need a helper. Hey, he will help you. You say, what? Well, whatever you need him to help you with, there's a promise in the word, and he has been sent to help you. Praise God. The Bible says he's one who's called alongside to help, to stand right with you. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you wish somebody would stand with you? Over in 2 Timothy 4:16, Paul wrote, he said, at my first defense of the gospel, nobody stood with me. He said, he was really implying, I put my life on the line. I risked my life. I've been stoned. I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked, you know. And he said, but then when I had to go before Caesar's tribunal, he said, 2 Timothy 4:16, nobody stood with me. But I noticed that he said this. He said, but the Lord stood with me. And he said, the Lord strengthened me. Glory to God. Yeah. And one other interpretation of this word, helper, savior, advocate, intercessor, standby, strengthener is another word. He's a counselor. He's a comforter. Yes, he is. He's whatever we need him to be. And so all of those translations are correct. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. He's a savior. He's an advocate. Glory to God. Whatever you need, he's an intercessor. He's a strengthener. He's a standby. He's also a consoler. Thank God he's the great comforter. He's the mighty comforter. He's the mighty comforter. When we aren't, when somebody's hurt us, when we are feeling low, or when we are disappointed. Has life ever disappointed anybody? Oh, we've got a great comforter. And I'll tell you, if you'll call him the comforter, because 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, God identifies himself this way. He says, I'm the God of all comfort. Yeah. And when we get disappointed, the Holy Spirit is on the inside to comfort us. You know, another word that's not mentioned here, but is also an interpretation of the word helper, is divine encourager. I like that. He's a divine encourager. But you know this, if the Holy Spirit is a divine encourager, how come so many people feeling blue? How come so many believers feeling low if we've got a divine encourager right on the inside? I can tell you why. If we listen to the wrong voice, we'll miss the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, well, you know, brother, you don't know what happened to me. I lost my job this week. Well, you may have lost your job, but God can give you a better job. I said, he's a provider. He'll give you a better job. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. But you've got a divine encourager on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost won't discourage you. He'll encourage you. The question is not, will he encourage you? He's a divine encourager. Nobody knows how to encourage you like God. The question is, will we listen to him? When God is trying to encourage us, will we listen to him? And I tell you where we go wrong. You need to get Pastor Hagin's sermon from this morning. Oh my, because if we would abide in the word, I said, if we would abide in the word, we would be sensitive to the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And we'd be able to distinguish his leading and his voice from that of the enemy. I said, the enemy will come to discourage you. He'll come. You may have lost your job, and the enemy will say, well, see, there ain't going to be no more job. You'll never get a job as good as that. Well, you're going to be broke all your life. That's not the Holy Spirit talking to you. You got a divine encouragement. I tell you what, do like Pastor said, get in the word, abide in the word. John 15:7, you abide in the word abides in you. Ask what you will, it shall be done. We've got to get the word on the inside of us. Why? Because when we get the word on the inside of us, it makes us sensitive to the divine encourager. It makes us sensitive to the comforter. It makes us sensitive. He's not just a comforter. He's a consoler. When we've lost someone that we love and we're feeling grief about the person that we love, Oh, he's a mighty consoler. Anybody ever known him to console you? I tell you, I got a mama in heaven. I got a dad in heaven. Oh, the mighty Holy Spirit has consoled. He came to console me, took the hurt out of the hurt. Yeah. He's a comforter. He's a counselor when you need direction. I said, he's a counselor. I said, he'll give you wisdom. I said, he'll help you make decisions. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Psalm 32, verse 8, God said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll counsel you with my eye on you. Yeah, he's a counselor. He'll guide you in the right way. The scripture says he will guide you and disclose to us things that are to come. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. He's the God who looks ahead and he sees what's ahead and then provides. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Anybody in your life, God ever looked ahead in your life and then provided for you? Yeah. I said, he's a mighty good God. He's the God who looks ahead and provides. You know all my stories by now, but I'm going to tell this. You know, I remember when I was at work, not a senior manager. I was working for FedEx, frontline manager. And we got a new senior manager and some new managers. And I just won't go into that whole story, but they weren't doing everything right. And there were a few issues of integrity. And they were mad at me because I wouldn't compromise integrity on some things. And I told them, look, we're one team. I want to work with you. I just can't do that. And they really got mad. And somebody put a job change application in my mail slot anonymously. They didn't send. I didn't know who did it. I figured maybe one of them did it. Made me mad. Oh, I was mad as fire. Because it's like someone saying, why don't you go transfer? And then they don't put their name on it. They just put that in there. I was mad as fire. But thank God that was the day I happened to be fasting. Came home mad as fire, ready for fasting. That's a good attitude to fast in, ain't it? I say fasting, but just skipping dinner, you know. Came home mad as fire. I just said, I'm not going anywhere. I ain't moving. I ain't going nowhere. They ain't moving me. I ain't going nowhere. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm ready for a battle. Know my rights. Prepared to do whatever I got to do. Ready for a battle. Not going nowhere. Not going anywhere. And then I took that form and never forget it and went to pray about it and just said, well, Lord, I'll just ask you anyway. Should I leave? Should I go to the other station? Instantly in my belly, I had peace. Get out of there. Instantly. It was so instant, made my head go tilt. My head and my spirit were having a battle because my head was still saying, I ain't going. But my spirit, God was saying, get out of there. You ever had a battle between your head and your spirit? Sometimes people miss God by 18 inches. That's the average distance from a person's heart to their head. You can't listen up there in your head. Get down here in your spirit. Romans 8:16. The spirit bears witness with our spirit, not our mind. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. But I knew that. I had learned that. And I knew I had peace in here. And I got out of there. I went and transferred. Yeah, I said, he's the God who looks ahead and then provides. So I got out of there. The company looked at that and said, you've had so much experience. The station you're transferring to is only 10 miles down the road and they need managers. They don't have any managers. You're an experienced manager. We're not even going to interview you. We're just going to give you the job. And they said, look, we've looked at your experience. And because of your experience, we're going to give you a $2,500 signing bonus. That's pretty good, ain't it? Then I went over there. And then 6 months later, the company swooped in with a team of personnel reps and fired the whole crew at the other station. The whole management team. They said there were so many complaints they had to get rid of. They didn't think any part of the management team was salvageable over there where I had been. And I was 6 months over in another location now. They terminated the whole crew. Yeah. I'm talking about a God who can look ahead and then provide. And one of the Christians over at the other station, I was over there at a meeting sometime later, about a year later. And they said, Bill, I got to ask you something. I said, sure. They said, you know, back there, maybe it'd been a year now since all that had happened. They said, back there, you know, a year ago, you know, you had been a manager over here, and then you slipped out of here at just the right time. And then they said, the company swooped in here and fired the whole management team, and you had just got out. And they asked me this, how did you know that? And I said, I'm not that smart. I didn't know. I said, as a matter of fact, I was trying to stay. I said, but God down on the inside told me to get out of there. He's the God who looks ahead and then provides. What do you need tonight? You've been asking God to help you. You've been calling on the Lord saying, Lord, I need your help. I need an advocate. Oh, over in 1 John chapter 2, it says we have an advocate with the Father. If any man sins, we've got an advocate. If you got a, if you want help with that, hey, Jesus is our advocate. The Bible says literally, he's our defense attorney. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We've received his righteousness. He's wiped our slate clean. The Bible says in Micah 7:19, he's thrown our sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore, because we have a Holy Ghost advocate. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. What do you need? What do you need? You say, hey, I need him to provide. He's a provider. You say, I need his help to heal me. He's a healer. He will be what you call him. He's a comforter. He's an intercessor. Oh, John 17, Hebrews chapter 7, Jesus is an, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Part of his ministry is intercession. Glory be to God. He will counsel you. He will lead you. He will help you. He will correct you. He will strengthen you. Whatever it is you need, you've got a helper right there. And your help is not on the way. Your help, it's already arrived. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you for all of the great benefits to us as believers. Jesus, you were right when you said, it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, I can't send you the helper. And oh, he's the same kind. He's the same kind of helper as you. And so we thank you that as believers, we have a great helper tonight. Thank you, Father, for helping in whatever area people need it. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you may be here tonight, and maybe you've never received Christ as your Savior, and you can't receive the benefit of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help you in all those ways if Christ isn't your Savior. His help begins when we receive Jesus. John 1:12, but to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons and daughters of God. My friend, are you born again tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus? If you were to pass from this earth tonight, should you die tonight, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Hey, if not, I want to pray for you. If you're not sure you'd go to heaven, you say, Brother Bill, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. If I died tonight, I'm not sure. I hope so. Hey, let me pray for you. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you around this auditorium. Those of you watching online, if you're not sure you'd go to heaven, ushers, help me. Anybody here, you're not born again. You're not sure what would happen if you were to die. Listen, I got another invitation. Listen, if you're here tonight, you're here, you're listening to the sound of my voice, but you know in your heart of hearts, just be real now, you know in your heart of hearts, you're not right with God. Maybe you received Christ as your Savior, but now you're not living for the Lord. And you know you're not living for the Lord, but you sense his presence tonight of the Holy Spirit, and you want to make it right. Lift your hand and let me pray for you. Where are you at? Is anybody in here and you say, I'm not living right, but I want to make it right. I'm going to make it right tonight. Is there a hand in here tonight? You're here tonight. Is there a hand in here? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You say, I want to make it right. I want to make it right. I want to get right with God. You say, I either want to be born again or I want to rededicate my life to Christ. Oh, don't resist the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, if today you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart if you hear his voice. Oh, praise God. Listen, if you're here on any of those two invitations, that is, you want to be born again, or you want to rededicate your life to Christ, you had your hand up, or you should have had your hand up. Here's what I want you to do. I just want you to stand up boldly on your feet. God's going to help you tonight. Oh, God loves you. He's going to help you. God sees your faithfulness. And just come right down here. Let me pray for you. Come right down here. Jesus said this, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. But if you're not ashamed of me, I'm not going to be ashamed of you. Thank you, brother, for coming tonight. God bless you. Somebody else, if you're not right with God, now is your time. Get up here and come down here right now. It is not too late. Let God help you. Let God help you. Oh, if you sense the Holy Spirit moving on you, the Bible say, if today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Anybody else want to join this brother? Hey, I'm going to do just what I said tonight. I want you just to lift one hand to God, because I'm just a man. But after all, we're coming to God. And I just want you to say this prayer after me. Father, I come. Everybody, let's all help him say it. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to be my defense attorney, to die on the cross for my sins. And Father, I dedicate my life to serve you and to do according to your will. Make me the person that you want me to be. in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, brother, man, some things are going to change for you, man. God bless you. Hey, this is Reverend Paul. I want you to go with him, and he's going to make sure you get some materials and everything you need and answer any questions you have. Let's give our brother a big hand. Let's pray for him. Father, thank you now for our brother, and thank you for helping him. May this be a brand new day. And Father God, may you, Father, may your help, your strength, your encouragement, your healing, whatever he needs, may he receive that right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for helping our dear brother. Those of you who are online, if you prayed, then we want you to write in and let us know that. We're so glad you tuned in tonight. We're so glad you came tonight. We love you and we appreciate you. Before we go, is there anything before we go? Did we have any guests? Did we have any? So we're all family tonight. Well, remember, be praying for all of our pastors and be here Wednesday for Hour of Power. You are dismissed. God bless you.